Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2023 in Nairobi, Kenya. Join us for this and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
Hello from Nairobi and the Africa Energy Forum 2023. We're here today with Anyababa Ikem from African Infrastructure Investment Managers, or AIM. My name is Mark Howard. I'm the Deputy Editor of African Energy, a newsletter covering the power and energy sectors founded in 1998. So, Baba, lovely to be with you here today.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here and thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Have you had a good conference thus far?
Yes, it's been intense, but very fruitful and looking forward to the upcoming days.
Fantastic. So I wondered if you could, for the benefit of our audience, give an introduction to AIM and a bit of background.
Okay. So AIM, or you know, the longer version, Africa Infrastructure Investment Managers, we are a Pan-African private equity firm focused on the energy and infrastructure sectors. So that spans, you know, across, you know, power assets, digital infrastructure, ports and logistics, roads, and so on and so forth. We've been on the continent since 2000, so that's going 23 years of operations on the continent. We have offices in 5 locations. We're a subsidiary of Old Mutual, so call it our headquarters is in South Africa. We have an office in Cape Town, another in Johannesburg. I'm based in Lagos, where we oversee Nigeria and Ghana. We also have an office in Abidjan where the team oversees Francophone West Africa. And then obviously where we are today in Nairobi, we have a team here who is looking over East Africa. In terms of what we are currently focusing on at the moment, there are 3 key pillars. The first is supporting Africa in building out its capacity in line with the energy transition story. The second is around digital infrastructure, as I mentioned earlier, increasing connectivity of myself and you, just like we're doing today, across the continent. And then finally, around ports and logistics, where we are improving the movements of goods and services across the continent. To date, we have about $2.5 billion of assets under management and growing. And yeah, that's AIM for you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Yeah, very interesting indeed. And we're here today, of course, at the Energy Forum. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so let's talk about renewables deployments in Africa and your work in that space.
Great question. So look, I think there has been significant progress across the continent in terms of building out energy infrastructures to meet our needs, as well as decarbonize our energy mix. So if you look between 2015 to 2022, renewable capacity has increased 12% annually. You look at on-grid hybrid capacities, so talking about solar combined with batteries or solar combined with gas generating assets, that has doubled in that same time period to 2 gigawatts. And is forecast to go up to 7 gigawatts by 2026. It's great progress in-house at AIM, one of our portfolio companies, Starsight, which we invested into in 2017. At that stage, it was only present in Nigeria with about 30 pilot sites. Today, you know, call it end of 2022, that business now has either signed or operational capacities upwards of 400 megawatts, which is significant growth within that time. So we have played our part in those numbers that I mentioned. I think everybody recognizes that there's still a lot to do, given the vast renewable resources we have on the continent. Given the vast renewable assets we have on the continent, Africa is still responsible for less than 2% of global renewable capacity. We still have circa 500, 600 million people who still don't have access to electricity. Our industrials and commercial sectors, which Starsight focuses on, still suffers from unreliable power. So even if we have made significant progress to date, I think everybody recognizes that there's still a lot to be done. And the pace also has to be picked up.
Thank you. Very interesting indeed. Yeah. So very good progress thus far, but lots of work still to Correct. Do and lots of opportunities ahead.
Correct.
And you mentioned Starsites, yep. One of your investees.
Yep.
And one of the exciting trends in the power sector in Africa recently has, of course, been commercial and industrial power, or yep. often termed C&I,
yep.
in the industry. Yep. And you're one of the leaders in this space, of course.
Yep.
So if you could just tell us a little bit more about C&I and AIM's approach to it.
Fantastic. So the C&I sector, as you rightly put, is the commercial and industrial sector, which is the engine or the backbone of economic growth around the continent. And at AIM, and I think widely, it is accepted that, you know, addressing the energy gap there and making operations greener in that sector is important to delivering on the key sustainable energy, sustainable development goals. So whether you're talking about providing clean and affordable power, the commercial and industrial sector is highly dependent on that to support growth. If you support the commercial and industrial sector, you are supporting the creation of jobs, reducing poverty, and supporting economic growth across the continent. And for us as infrastructure investors, what is also attractive about this sector is, you know, this is the sector that typically has the highest credit worthy clients, where you know you're investing in solar and wind assets that have 15 to 20 year lifespans. You want to ensure that, you know, the off-takers on the back of those assets are there within that time. And we believe the C&I sector has been a great place to start. We need to expand beyond that. But I think the C&I sector has been a catalyst for addressing the needs, you know, in the residential and rural areas. As you address that, I think you'll begin to see a network building out from the C&I space.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just to add to that, the commercial industrial sector, you know, it ranges from, a bank branch where people go in to deposit to collect money to, you know, larger things like, you know, manufacturing plants, mines, and as you have, you know, there's a huge spectrum of off-takers that sit within that bucket.
Thank you. Yeah, fantastic overview. And as you say, very rightly, C&I is a handy overall term,
yep.
but clearly there's a huge difference between,
Correct.
Let's say, retail premises
yep.
with a small rooftop solar mounted system, mm-hmm. Right the way up to, as you mentioned, very large off-takers such as manufacturing enterprises, mines, all yep. with very heavy, you know, power demands, power intensive users. Mm-hmm. So, you know, vast market there
yep.
to address, of course. And C&I, as a sort of concept, if you like, has of course existed for a very long time. You know, mines have always needed power mm-hmm. in remote locations, for instance, that would not be practical to be supplied by the grid. Mm-hmm. But with the emergence of renewable energy mm-hmm. As part of the energy transition, we're actually seeing renewables come to predominate in C&I. So what's your take on the importance of renewables in particular, you know, to C&I projects going forward?
Fantastic. So again, another great question. I think the thing that the renewables has heightened since, you know, solar came into prominence, so solar wind came into prominence, is your ability to sell power directly to a commercial and industrial customer, which wasn't necessarily the case, you know, 2010, 2011. You now have the ability to, you know, locally build a power plant and directly supply to a customer, and which obviously embeds a stronger relationship in terms of payments and so on and so forth, given that you are dealing directly with the customer. As we go along, what the continent now needs to do, as we are finding, say, in South Africa, the regions that have the highest renewable resources are not necessarily close to these off-takers or these demand centers. So we are now going back to the question of how do we get those resources from where they are located? We can't move the sun, we can't move the wind. So how do we get those resources and harness those resources and get it to these clients? And the conversation is now picking up around, you know, the grid needs to be central around this to be able to do that. The good thing about, you know, this evolution that is coming is, one, you're not limited by space, right? You're typically not limited by space because these places are, you know, in typically away from high areas with high population density. So you are able to build much larger plants. And as I said, higher resource in those areas, which means you are able to offer these clients lower costs, even after you account for the cost of transmitting to them. So I think that's where this sector is heading. We have had, as I said, great traction with building, call it, you know, there's captive, people use different word, captives, embedded capacity. But I think for the scale that Africa requires, that's where the sector needs to head. And we are seeing great movements in places like South Africa. In 2021, we heard about the amendment to the Electricity Regulatory Act, which allowed people to build capacities up to 100 megawatts without requiring a generation license, as well as then wheeling that power through the grid directly to commercial industrial customers, as an example. And if you look at the impact of that change in regulation, in 2021, that same year, I believe there were about 8 gigawatts of projects that were registered with NERSA, who is the regulator in South Africa. Post that regulatory amendment announcement in 2022, we saw that rise up to 1.6 gigawatts in terms of projects that were registered. So we think that that's going to be a catalyst going forward in not just providing additional renewable or clean power to CNI customers, but there's going to be a net effect since you are building up the grid. You'll be able to serve all our customers along the way.
Thank you. Yeah, very interesting trend. So yep. We've seen a sort of almost a change in CNI, if you like, from one that was predominantly, as you were saying, sort of behind the fence, if you
Correct.
Like, firms generating their own power, often termed auto-consumption. Mm-hmm. And now we're also seeing a complementary sort of aspect where private developers, as you say, are developing this CNI capacity mm-hmm. and using grid infrastructure and wheeling that power.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this has, of course, considerable ESG benefits mm-hmm. for the off-taking companies when it's renewable capacity that's generating this power right. in the first instance. Could you speak a bit more to the ESG aspect of CNI and how it informs AIM's sort of projects and works and investments?
Fantastic, thank you. So again, I'll go back to my company, Starsight. To date, Starsight has been able to generate around 170 gigawatt hours of clean energy for its customers, offsetting a significant amount of diesel usage, particularly in places like Nigeria, where we started. We typically are reducing customers' diesel usages in Nigeria by 30-40% when Starsight comes in. Those are significant, environmental benefits, reducing the carbon emissions. The emission numbers have skipped my head, but that just paints into the paints a good picture. I mean, Starsight now has about 600 locations across Nigeria where they are saving customers or reducing customers' diesel usages by 30-40%. So you total that over a year, it's quite a significant reduction in carbon emissions for this customer. So it's one of the impact areas that we look at and we track regularly to see how Starsight is performing and delivering on that. With the move towards wheeled energy to customers, the size of our installations are going to go up. Therefore, the amount of diesel offset you are able to achieve would also go up. And we're going to be, South Africa is a very classic example of that, serving the mining sector, where you're able to wheel large amounts of power from, for instance, in the Northern Cape, where Starsight has signed about 300 megawatts of contracted capacity to customers, like data centers and miners. And so you can imagine the level of carbon offsets you're going to get from that. So it's a key aspect of what we do and one that we track and are proud of. And then the final thing I should mention is Starsight is the first carbon credit accredited for energy provider in Nigeria. So all those credits that we are, all those carbon offsets that we are recording are certified. And that's a great achievement for the business.
Thank you. And of course, you've touched on the environmental benefits of renewables and C&I in terms of reducing carbon emissions, which is clearly of huge importance. Mm-hmm. But there's also more localized environmental benefits, aren't there, in terms of the emissions, in terms of the particulates that diesel generation or other forms of fossil fuel generation release. So there's immediate health benefits for local Correct. Communities too, aren't there, Correct. By displacing?
You know? Correct. You're absolutely right. You know, the improvements in health quality by you cutting down on the number of hours that you run your diesel generator for. Is a clear benefit for all, and not just us, and not just for the customers, but for the country as a whole. And we look forward to that trend continuing to go up over time.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, looking at the C&I sector as a whole and its role in driving growth, perhaps we could talk a bit about the main enablers in terms of C&I. And also prospective new markets that AIM may be looking at.
Fantastic. Great question. So in terms of the enablers, I touched on one earlier. So regulatory frameworks are key to enabling, much larger projects being built. So again, example of how we need to scale up. Last year, in 2022, the amount of renewables that were deployed in Africa was around 2.6 gigawatts. You compare that to India, where they're doing 20 gigawatts, and in Brazil, where you have around 14, you had 14 to 15 gigawatts installed. It tells you the sort of scale that we need to get to drive the pace at which we are addressing this. You know, on one hand, the energy shortage, and on the other hand, decarbonizing our energy mix. So, establishing the right regulatory framework is key. We have seen that in South Africa. We are seeing the benefits of that. You know, people are now able to develop much larger assets. And there's now a focus on improving the grid and based on those regulations. And we are beginning to see similar other countries follow that trend. You know, in Nigeria, a recent announcement of reforms that would allow states to generate their own electricity in the country is, a similar path. I mean, things are heterogeneous across the continent, but those high-level themes, we expect to still see the benefits come through. The same thing is also happening in Morocco. So the one thing that we need is countries to have those frameworks in place to allow people like ourselves in the private sector to be able to be efficient with where we invest. Number one, and then number two, have confidence that over the long haul, where these assets are deployed. Our revenues or quality offtake is also guaranteed. So that's the first thing, regulatory frameworks. The second I would mention is around, we need to be a bit more innovative around financing. So there's a lot of money, including ourselves, that is waiting for bankable projects to become available. And we have across our, I'm not just talking about Starside now, but across a number of portfolio companies that we have in the AIM stable that is looking at the commercial and industrial sector in South Africa. When those regulations changed, we've secured, gotten exclusivity over around 2 gigawatts of land that's available for generation, and I've also signed up 700 megawatts across all those companies for offtake. Now, what we're able to do in those platforms is we are able to sort of spread our, call it, development costs across the overheads that those portfolio companies carry, right? Which is helpful. But in certain cases, that's not always practical. So there's a lot of money that is waiting on the sidelines to go after projects that these are, bankable projects that these are portfolio companies are developing. But on the flip side, in terms of developing those projects before they become bankable, I think that there still needs to be some innovation around that to encourage people like ourselves to take that, call it significant development risk at that stage where you don't have a project yet. So I think around that area, there's still a bit of work that needs to be done to encourage people to get those projects up to financial close where, people like ourselves, we need to contribute on the development side and also on the finance side. But I think getting those projects to once you get a project to financial close, there's a strong appetite for financing. You just need to focus a bit more on that development angle. And we're doing that through our portfolio companies. But you know, we need more dedicated capital that is targeting that.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, very interesting indeed. And clearly for investors, that's going to be a prime question going forward.
Yep.
But investors are also continuously on the lookout for new markets, of course, as we know.
Correct.
What sort of new markets and new opportunities are exciting yourself?
Fantastic. So look, our core markets have been, I mean, we believe we will see majority of growth in Nigeria and South Africa, right? Morocco is also becoming very interesting given, you know, the ability of private players to now play at the HV level, right? And we are looking strongly at that market. The DRC is also becoming very interesting as well. Very similar thesis in terms of, you know, large mining operations in the DRC that needs more reliable and cleaner power for their operations. And that market is becoming more and more interesting. We're also operational in Ghana and Kenya. In Kenya, where we are today, we have now deployed the largest rooftop solar asset at 3 megawatts through our subsidiary SPEG. And we believe, given what we're now seeing in Kenya, we expect high levels of growth, you know, through into Uganda and Tanzania. So for us, that's, you know, those four markets I've mentioned, I think are where we as AIM will be looking to build out our capacity.
Fantastic. Thank you. And earlier you mentioned the importance of grid infrastructure as well to C&I projects. And this is anticipated as a factor that will be increasingly important, especially as you mentioned, off-site C&I generation capacity that will use the grid to wheel its power to the eventual off-takers, of course. So in terms of grid infrastructure, obviously that's something that's typically invested in on a sort of public basis or public-private partnership basis. What would you like to see going forward from investors, you know, be they public entities or private entities, in terms of reforms perhaps, you know, to either upgrade or commission new grid infrastructure? And in terms of making it easier for C&I generators to wheel their power, you know, to customers.
Yeah, I think you answered the question there. So I think, you know, again, going back to regulations, private players require a bit more allowance for their participation in, you know, transmission assets and distribution assets. Right? There's still, I mean, you're seeing it now in South Africa. You know, there's, given the changes, people are now, you know, private capital is now coming into increasing grid access to enable these, you know, the generating assets that are being built to evacuate their power to their customers. So that's already happening, and we need that to be replicated across the continent to allow more private participants in those sectors, not just on the generation end. I think we would see that come through. In terms of the challenges, you know, we're talking about vast distances here, you know. So along the way, you're going to have, you know, land rights, land use. You know, that requires a strong public participation to get over some of those hurdles to ensure that, you know, those sort of blockages along the way are gotten over. Mid, you know, private sector, private participants are able to get over those hurdles much easier, given, you know, the vast amounts of distances you have to travel and the number of stakeholders you need to engage with over that time. And I think the public sector has an important role to play in achieving that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, starting off with your C&I customers, which again are your, you know, highest credit worthy type of optics, you are able to start off with that. Leverage on that offtake, and then, as I said, start addressing other sectors like the residential guys who are, you know, the residential sectors who are, you know, nearby to those offtakers. So I think the CNI space is going to be a catalyst for that, as well as the development of grid infrastructure.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a really good point. And increasingly, we're seeing a sort of a new, let's say, almost a symbiotic role between C&I players mm-hmm. and your, you know, traditional utilities mm-hmm. or whether they're transmission or distribution companies as well, where it doesn't have to be a case of competing with each other. Mm-hmm. Actually, there can be a lot of collaboration and, exactly. you know, the investment, as you say, that's flowing into C&I can also provide a benefit, you know, for public entities or for utilities in strengthening grids. And that's a win-win for everyone. So
correct.
This is sort of what we're seeing now in a few markets. Mm-hmm. And it's a very exciting prospect going forward. And we're also looking at business cases for C&I generators where they can supply not only maybe their anchor client in the form of an industrial offtaker or a miner, for instance, but maybe broaden their offering out to local communities as well and supply power directly to retail users. Mm-hmm. Is that something that has captured AIM's attention to?
I think that will come.
Yeah.
I think we're still at the early stages of building out this model, but that would inevitably come, you know. If you have customers that are not, take for instance, over the weekends, we already have this in Nigeria, where you are supplying a customer during the weekday, during the weekends, you know, they are shut down, you still have your solar panels generating power, right? If you are able to then export that power to the grid to supply communities and residential sector around those areas, that's a huge benefit, as I said. So I still think we are at the early stages, but we are now seeing frameworks that would permit that, whether that's net metering or wheeling. We are now seeing those frameworks come to the fore, and you know, the public sector, you know, providing guidelines on how those initiatives will be implemented. So I think we will get there, but we're still at the early stages of that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, very exciting times, lots of prospects going forward,
yep.
and lots of benefits as well, not just for C&I off-takers, but for grids, local communities, and, you know, the wider economies in terms of reducing the cost of power, increasing the reliability, and ultimately it's about improving the economic well-being of the countries, you know, in which you're investing.
Correct.
So, yep. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Baba.
Thank you, Mark.
Really enjoyed
it was
our conversation.
A pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2023 in Nairobi, Kenya. Join us for this and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.